B-Pod Studios.
Live coverage from the Miami Convention Center with Toucher and Rich. Presented by your New England Volkswagen dealers. On 98.5, The Sports Hub. On air and streaming on the 98.5, The Sports Hub app.
Guy who loves barbecues on Fridays, coach, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid. Talk about that Friday kind of routine you have set here.
Yeah, so we have a little junk food Friday, and we've had to clean it up a little bit. Times are changing, but not too much. Not too much. We get the barbecue in there. When you're in Kansas City, you got to do the barbecue.
What are you having for lunch today?
Whatever you want. It's on me. Oh, no, it's on me. And if we can find a good buffet, I'm not too familiar with restaurants up here. If we're in Kansas City, I'd take you up a couple notches.
All right, Rhett, back to you. Rhett, back to you. I can't believe it. I'm not coming back to work.
I love Andy Reid because they're goofing on him for being fat, and he's just like, I don't care. By the way, this hour of Toucher and Rich, Rich is over there in Miami, brought to you by the Bernardi Automotive Group. But he, see, that's the great thing is, like, he just owns it. He doesn't get upset about it. He's just like, yeah, I love eating.
Probably half the reason he took the Chiefs job. He's like, ribs.
That might be a factor. I'm not lying to you.
I'm not going to lie. That was the first thing I thought of when he took the Chiefs job was barbecue.
That is Burt Bear, by the way, in the Apex Entertainment guest chair. Real quick, I do have to just a little bit of backstory. So Burt, his he wasn't able to get his credential yesterday. A lot of people weren't. And so he was going to get it this morning possibly. And I was just like, you know what? Don't worry about it. You know, why don't you just try to come in tomorrow? And then I was like, you know what? Maybe we can. And I texted him this morning. I'm like, hey, maybe if you can come in for the 9 o'clock hour. And I could just hear it in Vert's, like I could even like, just hear him speaking it, even though it was a text. Like, okay, this guy, they've got you staying.
How got all of us staying out there? I mean, like, honestly, like, I don't get the – everybody who covers the league, like, day to day is staying at the Courtyard Airport. It's close to nothing. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, this is – like, oh, you're in Florida. You're at the Super Bowl. I this isn't about me being near the beach. This isn't about me being near the clubs. This isn't about me being near the bars. This is about, like, being in a place where you can functionally work.
Right.
Right?
No, that's the thing is that...
All I care about is being able to walk. Like,
well,
like
that,
you could put
that
this...
That was Phoenix.
You could put the media center in Liberty City, and as long as I could walk to it, I'm fine.
That's all I care, too.
This is the difference, though, between Phoenix and here, is that in Phoenix, the traffic isn't anywhere near what it is in Miami.
Right.
Like, Miami, it is... a nightmare. I think isn't Miami like one of like the top like 10 like most gridlocked cities in the country?
Well, and this is like the where the media center is on Miami Beach, which there are like I think two bridges that go across over there, right?
Right?
So they were bad this morning. Imagine what they're going to be like on Thursday and Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. So that is so Bert is being an absolute mensch for coming in this morning.
Well, screw the NFL for doing this.
Well, in fairness, Bert, there's not a lot of hotels in the Miami area, so yeah. I mean they had. To put you, this is just like
Miami Beach is kind of sparse with hotels.
You could get
right?
You get like a sleeping bag and just crash with Rich. No, you could just right, Rich.
Like, honestly, and I think Fred understands where I'm coming from in this. That might be better than where I am right now.
Oh, I would do that in 10 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend who has a condo about eight tenths of a mile from here. I sort of anticipated this, right? Like, yeah. I was like, when I saw where they put us, I was like, oh, okay, that doesn't look good. Even though the mileage isn't horrible, I'm like, that's going to wind up being a problem. So I said to him, like, all right, like, maybe, you know, Thursday or when, like, maybe I'll come and stay a couple nights with you. I'm, like, I'm thinking, like, not in terms of days, but hours now. Like,
yeah.
I hate to impose on you, dude, but this is so horrible.
Well, it's funny because, like, people will go, oh, and I was told this before by people at the station. They're like, well, you can't complain about being at the Super Bowl because, like, it's everyone's dream. And I'm like, it's everyone's dream to get up at 3 in the morning and go to some convention center? Like, yeah. Like, I'm not, like, at the Super Bowl, like, hanging out. Yeah. I'm going to a convention center at the crack ass and sitting there. And then having to go back later in the day.
Yeah, but you're in the presence of, what's his name, Fesco in the gang?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, because
talk to him at 6:30 tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, and this becomes like, the later you get in the week, too, this becomes like the capital of self-importance. So if you're sitting on Radio Row, it's like it's just crawling with people who are looking for other people to like
point them out or recognize them or come over and be on my show, you know? Like,
it happens all the time.
Like, some player you've never heard of has, like, an entourage of, like, five people around him.
Yes. Yeah, well, Papa John's. Papa John had the biggest entourage of all of the people that I've seen, all the guests. I remember the same day Papa John was being taken around by 10 different people, Joe Montana showed up with one guy.
Yeah.
Joe freaking Montana.
And all those people that come in with people like Papa John, they're all like taking notes for some reason too as they're walking along. Like what are you writing down?
They're seeing who they got to kill next.
The worst was that we had Andy Dalton one time. He was offered to us, and he was with this woman who was I think was Pepsi, and she had one of those clipboards you're talking about. And so they're like, "Would you like Andy Dalton?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." So Andy Dalton sits down. Now you have to remember, this was right after he had gone into the Pro Bowl and got booed at the Pro Bowl, which never happened. Yeah. So Andy Dalton got booed at the Pro Bowl. And so I open up, and the woman from Pepsi's like super excited. She's taking notes, and the notes are probably interview going well. And one of the first questions I asked was, "Hey, so I got to ask you, you were booed at the Pro Bowl," and immediately I see her just put the clipboard on her arm and just like stare at me. And I'm sure she's like, "Not a nice interview, not a nice one." So yeah, so that's going to all start in a few. But Bert, I'm glad you were able to come out. Are you going tonight to the?
I think I am. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So that's always. I mean,
who should I? Okay, give me. Okay, so I.
As far as players, who should you go to?
I know. Obviously, I'm going to talk to Andy Reid. Obviously, going to talk to Jimmy Garoppolo. I know Wes Welker is going to be there. I'm going to try to get to talk to him.
And you're going to talk to Old Sandwich.
Which we were thinking of like questions to ask, and Fred had one that I had to have him explain to me.
Yeah.
And what was it, Fred?
Sammy Watkins. Does anyone call you Old Sandwich?
Because he's a Sammy. So he had to explain that one.
Thanks, Fred.
I'll ask him for you, Fred. I'll ask him.
So both tight ends are good personalities.
Is Kelsey a douche?
He is a douche.
Okay.
But, like,
all right.
but like for your purposes, like he'll fill it up.
I don't know. Right. There's a douche duel between the two tight ends.
Kittle is like,
I like Kittle.
I'll Kittle from a personality standpoint is a little more like, I feel like Kelsey tries to be Gronk,
yes,
but Kittle is Gronk. You know what I mean?
No one's Gronk, but
Kittle's like more natural.
No one knows who Kittle is, and he walked around with a Garoppolo shirt on with Garoppolo topless. and he was like, and he did it just like as a. And another question I wrote for Rich was, do you have any other plans to try to garner attention so people will ask who you are? Because or something along
people
those
know,
lines.
People know who Kittle is. I mean,
I
thought that was funny. Came out with a Jimmy Garoppolo with his shirt off shirt. Really, that's kind of funny.
No, come out with an Andy Reid with his shirt off, and then we're talking.
Oh yeah.
Listen, I mean, that's a premium. You got
now we're cooking with gas.
We got one of Bird's old Everett buddies too. You could interview somebody about Bird if
who?
You wanted.
Who?
Mike Borgonzi is the director of football operations for the Chiefs. Grew up in Everett.
Okay, I have to Google that. Now, would he?
He would like. I think Bird knows. I remember mentioning like they're brothers, Borgonzi brothers, Mike and Dave.
Oh, I know.
Dave
this.
Is like Dave yeah. coaches for the Colts, and Mike's like an executive for the Chiefs. Yeah.
Borgonzi brothers from Everett. It just sounds like a team of brothers. From
yeah.
Everett.
So they might be able to give you some. I mean, Mike might be able to give you some stories on Bird.
Okay. Well, now I have to do that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think like. Who else? Emmanuel Sanders is a good personality.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be interesting to talk to. You might ask him about, like, whether or not he had a may have wound up going to the Patriots. You know, he signed the offer sheet with the Patriots all those years ago. And, like, his name was sort of circulated as a possible Patriots target.
You could ask him if he's a fan of the softcore adult films Emmanuel. Black Emmanuel.
Emmanuel in Space, is that what you're talking about?
Or if yes. he loves, if he's got like a big thing for Alex Karras because he wants to
see. I was going to go there, but then I thought it was too
Emmanuel
obvious.
Lewis.
That's right.
You know, it's a Webster joke.
The Emmanuel series were these erotic films with starring a very unattractive woman. For some reason, she was
in outer space for some reason. I don't know why.
There was Emmanuel in Space, and then there was one Black Emmanuel, which was a African-American woman. And the song went, Black Emmanuel.
For you, Fred, I am going to ask Emmanuel Sanders to rank his favorite Emmanuel movies.
Nice. You have to say erotic, softcore Emmanuel films.
He'll know.
I mean, he doesn't live in a bubble.
All right, so you got the sandwich question. You got the movies question. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
No. We have a bunch of things that we've got like questions we're going to ask. We've got planned. I mean, this is not. I just have a feeling this. media day, there isn't like there's not a Gronk, there's not a Brady. I mean, Mahomes.
What about Sherman?
Sherman's good.
Yeah. Sherman'll be one.
I talked to Sherman one time when it was they were playing Seattle, and I asked him how the hell he could possibly be a fan of who's the dude who used to
Macklemore.
Like, why the hell do you like Macklemore? Why do you let Macklemore in the locker room? And he defended Macklemore.
You should go back and say, are you still, now that you are finally out of Seattle, can you admit that Macklemore is one of the worst hip hop artists of all time?
That Macklemore sucked and has always sucked?
Yes.
Can you admit that? That's not a bad idea. Yeah. Not a bad idea.
Well, there's as long as you ask Sammy Watkins if they called him Old Sandwich, then
your week's complete.
Everything's downhill from there.
Yeah.
See, if I was there, I'd just ask about St. Bud the Bell. All right, very good. Burt Breer is out there, and I have a question for Burt Breer that I don't think is ridiculous, it's right in his wheelhouse. We will have that for you in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer on with us in Miami with Rich, thanks to the New England Volkswagen dealers. He's in the guest chair, sponsored by Apex Entertainment. So I like the draft. I like the NFL draft. I like thinking about it.
You like boats? You like boats going to the middle of the Bellagio fountains?
Oh, you like that? Yeah.
Yeah. I love
jet skis.
I don't know. I never, when I go, I never leave the wizard place. The Excalibur.
The Excalibur.
No, I just go right
from
the airport.
You don't know the name of that place? Come on.
I'm sorry.
You don't go to the nightly buffet?
No, of course I do.
Raise a goblet.
I just go right from the airport to the hotel, and I never leave. I mean, and I just look out my window and gaze at the hourly fountain. But, okay, so you're the Bengals, Bert. And you're going to suck for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an opportunity next year to get a all-time quarterback. There's an opportunity to get the kid from Clemson, all-time quarterback.
Right.
Is there a way that you would trade out of that pick? And then also, if I traded down, okay, first of all, what do you think about Burrow? Do you think that he's had one very good season? What do you think about Burrow?
I think Burrow's really, really good.
Okay.
But I do know that there's some skepticism over the one season thing. Physically, he's not Trevor Lawrence. He's also not even Justin Fields, who will also be coming out next year. If you're looking for a guy who physically checks every box, that's not quite him. But we've seen plenty of quarterbacks that have done it without elite arm strength. I mean, Brady.
Right.
I mean, he developed it, but coming into the league, he didn't have elite arm strength. So, you know, there's that issue. You know, and I think there's also the question, like, this offensive coordinator, the pass game coordinator came in from the Saints this year, Joe Brady, and he was, like, did an incredible job. And, you know, there's the question, like, was LSU ahead of everybody for a year? And maybe everybody's would have caught up.
And he hit a lot to throw to.
And he had Justin Jefferson, who's a top 50 pick, Jamar Chase, who's going to be a top 10 pick in 2021, Thaddeus Moss, who's going to be an NFL tight end, that's Randy's kid, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's the running back who is probably going to be a second or a third round pick. So there's a lot of talent on that roster, no question. So I think there's merit in what you're saying, and certainly, you know, you could look at it and say, well, if somebody wants to come up and blow us away,
right,
and we'll then listen to that.
And then I'll have capital next year to trade up.
Although if Trevor Lawrence is what we think he is,
right, but
it's going to be really, really hard to get somebody to give up the first
pick. Okay, but who's going to be worse than the Bengals next season, in your opinion? Anybody?
I mean, but you know this. I mean, Fred, you're a Jets fan. You know this. Like, the Jets went on a random, like, 3-1 run in 2017, and it wound up costing them, you know, five spots in the draft, and they wound up having to trade 3 second-round picks to get back up and get Sam Darnold.
Right, right.
You know, so
okay,
it's just not guaranteed.
It's just like you can't, like, it's,
yeah, I know.
You know, you get to the fall, and it's like October, all of a sudden things come together for a few weeks. There's a soft spot in your schedule.
Yeah.
You're playing against somebody whose quarterback's hurt. Like, random things happen.
But if I believe the two names you just mentioned are better than Burrow, I think that
you have to think about it, yeah.
Okay, so that being said, now is Chase Young I mean, you have the Bosa brothers. Is he better than them? And also, is he a commodity that people would be willing to trade to the second pick for?
I don't think in that neighborhood anybody's willing to trade up for anything but a quarterback because it just costs too much to move. That said, this guy is in the same category as Julius Peppers, Mario Williams, Jadeveon Clowney. Like, he is a generational type of pass rusher. And so, you know, most people I've talked to think that he's got better physical tools than the Bosas, yes. And that the Bosas, both of them are so technically sound. I think Joey's probably a little more physically talented than Nick, but they're both really, really talented. Mm-hmm. Chase Young's probably slightly more talented and a little less refined, but he can get there. And so, yeah, I mean, you see the impact that Nick Bosa's had. Like, look at the Redskins, right? Right. So the Redskins are sort of in the same spot that the Niners were last year. They've got all these first-round picks, these former first-round picks on their defensive line, right? Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat, Ryan Kerrigan, all these former first-round picks there. And really, if you just dropped an elite pass rusher in there, all of a sudden, now, like that, you know, all of a sudden you've really, really got something. That's what happened with the Niners. You know, the Niners had all these guys who were really good players, and then you drop in a guy who I think most people believe is a generational type of prospect in Nick Bosa, and boom, like now all of a sudden DeForest Buckner's better, Eric Armstead's better,
yeah.
D Ford's better, like everyone's better because he's dropped into that group. And so I think the Redskins are looking at that sort of thing if they take Chase Young with the second pick.
Okay,
so you don't think I'm sorry, Richards, real quick.
If the draft was held right now, I think the likelihood is that, and I think this will continue to be the likelihood for a while, and we'll see what Burrow decides to do, but the Bengals take Burrow at number one. The Redskins take Chase Young at number two. And for all intents and purposes, the draft starts at three with the Lions.
Who are you going to take the corner?
Which they could take the corner. They could take the D tackle from Auburn. They could take the linebacker from Clemson. Or, like, say, Tua's medicals check out, right?
Yeesh.
Does somebody then decide they want to move up for Tua?
Well,
right?
there's a chance.
Or do the Lions look at it and say, like, our quarterback's been hurt? Like, I'll tell you this. The Lions quietly kicked tires on all the quarterbacks last year, and I'm not so sure if Daniel Jones hadn't fallen. If Daniel Jones had fallen to them at eight last year, I think they would have thought long and hard about that.
Here's two things about that. Is that, one, Patricia can't take a quarterback because he needs to win.
Yeah.
Two, is that if Stafford's healthy, that might be a playoff team given that division now.
I mean, I'm a Stafford believer. Like, everybody I know, ask anybody who's played with him. Like, everybody I know who's played with him, who's been around him, says that's a top five quarterback who's had really bad luck.
Right.
Either the team wasn't good enough around him, he was hurt, whatever it was, he's had really bad luck. But if things were ever right,
were against him.
If things were ever right for Stafford, then there's
a
top five quarterback in there.
I'm looking
out
for
right, Rich. That's right.
That.
They fix games.
They do fix games. That's right. They do. Okay, so. There was an article that came out. Charles Robinson of Yahoo was writing about what he believes if Brady was to leave the Patriots, what the market would be as far as the amount of money that he would be looking at. And he threw out there, he said he believes it would be 2 years, $60 to $70 million.
Yeah.
We've had Jeff Howe on the show. He said that if you got a bidding war, he believes that Brady might be able to command a three-year deal that could be upwards of I think he even said maybe even $90 million.
Okay.
That's if
which is the same number, basically.
It's the same number with an extra year.
Right.
However, my theory is that I think that he wants to, like, wants to be known as the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
And right now, Russell Wilson's at 35. I think, you know, I could see him doing a 2 year, $71 million deal just so he has that title for a brief amount of time. What are you hearing as far as what his worth is amongst around
the league? Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I think, like, you're going to see football and business kind of rub up against each other here. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be some teams that I think will look at it and say, from a business standpoint, it makes sense for us. It's such a complicated thing to do if you're another team. Like, here's the question I have for you guys. Do you have to blow up your offense if you bring him in? Do you have to blow up everything that you do, everything that you are, to make it work for him?
For the Titans?
The way that the Broncos did for Manning. Now do you have to
make him more cerebral because just based on physical ability, he needs to run a somewhat complex
offense.
I think
is Brady smart enough to be able to kind of meet someone halfway, meet an offense halfway?
So, like, Manning, like, for when Manning went to Denver, they for all intents and purposes, blew up a lot of what they did to accommodate Manning. The reason why they did that was because they said, and I think correctly, like, part of what unlocks who Peyton Manning is, and Fred, you just said it, is making the offense complex,
right,
is making it complicated. Because if it's not, mm-hmm, like, now you're relying more on his physical ability, and, you know, at the age Manning was at the time, it was harder to do that.
Yeah.
And so do you have to do that? And then the question that attaches to that is, do you want to do that for a 43-year-old? Do you want to get rid of whoever your current quarterback is? Do you want to blow up everything for the other 10 guys in the huddle? That's a complicated thing, because it's like, then it's like, okay, well, this isn't Peyton Manning in 2012 where maybe you have three or four shots at it. This is like one or two shots,
yeah, you gotta,
right? You have to do it now, and then you're left picking up the pieces after. Like, that's a tough ask, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think is so fascinating about this is, A, if you're another team, do you have to blow up what you do to make it work for Brady?
Who doesn't? Like, what team do you think is best equipped to take Brady right now?
Like, just absorb him.
Yeah, absorb him.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the Titans, like, where they are structural. Now, I think Arthur Smith is a really smart offensive coordinator who could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they're built right now, I mean, they dumb down things for Mariota and Tannehill. Like, that is a fairly... It's one of these offenses where, again, it's because they're younger. It's because, like, yeah, I mean, like, look, like, I mean, it's part of the reason why they were able to get a 1,000-yard year out of A.J. Brown, who is a rookie, right?
Yeah.
It's part of the reason why they're able to, you know, you can develop guys quicker if you do that, you know? Like, so it's part of the, you know, which is like the inverse of what you've had in New England forever, where it takes a while for N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers to come along. Why? Well, because the offense is complex. Why is the offense complex? The offense is complex to accommodate the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
If you are simpler, not only is it going to make things easier on a younger quarterback, it's also going to make it easier for younger skill players to contribute.
Sure.
And so that part of it, like, you have to look at places that have older quarterbacks in place. Like, the Chargers would be one, but does he want to go and play in a Norv Turner type of system? You know, because that's what that is. And,
yeah.
And a lot of their offense is big outside weapons and getting the ball downfield. Does that suit Brady? Like, it's a more complex offense, but it's also, you know, like, the weapons are sort of suited to Phillip Rivers, whose strength has always been getting the ball down the field. Brady's always been better as, like, sort of a point guard. And so do the – and great players, right? Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, really good players, right? Hunter Henry's a free agent. But do those – like, have we seen – is Brady at his best with that, or is he at his best with, like smaller, like,
I guess my
jitterbug
it's
receivers?
Not working here. You know, like, it didn't work with the guys he has here this year.
Right.
So – is there another team where it would work better than what he has here?
And that's like, but I think that's the operative question to the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Is that it's easy to huff and puff and say, we don't need him, or I'm not coming back. It's easy for either side to say that right now. But to wait when we get to March, is there going to be a better option? Is there going to be a better option for Brady? Is there going to be a better option for the Patriots? Now, with the Patriots, I think all that depends on the decisions that they make on other people on the roster. And I know that sounds crazy, right? It sounds crazy that what you do with Brady is dependent on, like, you know, Kyle Van Noy and,
sure,
and Jamie Collins. But it is, because if you're going to hold on to the defensive infrastructure you have, which is aging, right? Like you have 9 starters who are 29 years old or older, right? If you're going to hold on to Kyle Van Noy, if you're going to make a play to keep Jamie Collins, if you're going to bring Devin McCourty back for another year, if Jason McCourty's going to come back for another year, if you're going to make all these decisions to keep that defense in place, well, then there's not going to be a better option than Brady. You know, you look in the offense, Julian Edelman, 33, Marcus Cannon, 31. If you're going to bring all of those guys back, then there's no question at all. Like, you're not going to find a better option at quarterback than Brady for a team that's equipped to win right now. If you blow it up, you're talking about something else completely.
Yeah.
And then if you blow it up, maybe it's not the best option for Brady anymore.
Yep.
So that's, to me, I would just, I think with some of those older players, you're going to get tells. Like, what are they doing? Like, are they...
Well, Van Noy, he's going to get paid somewhere.
Yeah, and Van Noy's probably a bad example. Joe Tooney and Van Noy are probably the examples of guys who, like, Go get paid. Those guys should go to the highest bidder.
You're talking Slater's going to break the bank, right? He's going to bend over the Patriots.
No, but I'm talking like Devin McCourty, right? Like do you bring Devin McCourty back at, say...
He would do it for a massive discount. McCourty's like one of those guys that's like a Patriot. He's
all right, but you're going to have like a handful of those guys, yeah. Right? Like you're going to have a handful of guys where you're going to have to make decisions like that.
I'm hearing
both McCourty.
By the way, I'm hearing Van Noy's market isn't as high as people had been thinking about. All right, we will come back and Rich... We have audio, finally, of Aerosmith last night, and apparently it's not good. All right.
Well, I need to hear this. I need to hear this.
All right. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. Rich is in Miami thanks to the Bernardi Automotive Group. Rich, what is going on?
Well, it looks like we found it. Aerosmith at last night's Grammys. Once again, I was not watching it live. I was traveling here. I do know that they went on stage and Run DMC came out. The one clip that we played was the one clip that the internet allowed to be out there. I guess that they only wanted 10 seconds of the show. And from what people were telling me, they were saying, hey, it was Motley Crue-esque. It sounded like Vince Neil stumbling across the stage. And the clip we played, the 10 seconds that the internet allowed, seemed completely fine.
Yeah.
Well, I guess now we know why. Mike has dug, and we found another clip of Aerosmith from yesterday. Would you like to hear it, sir?
Oh, absolutely.
Here we go.
Oh,
yeah! Those are people not singing the same song.
No, there's a lot of confusion there.
That's two different songs being sung at the same time.
I don't think anyone's at the top of their game at this day and age. I don't think in 2020 either of them are in the top of their game.
You got to see Aerosmith when they come in town. If you've never seen them before, you got to see them because it might be your last chance. I mean, that's a band that, you said it, Fred. I mean, they've been together, you know, probably a little longer than they should be. You gotta see them now. I mean, and just because Joe Perry's still, like, he's still fine. And you know what? Steven Tyler still does a pretty good job on stage.
See, I thought he was like a corpse at this point, though.
Oh, he is. I mean, the guy's lived, I mean, about as rough of a lifestyle as you can.
Well,
you can
I mean,
live
he's if you read his book, I mean, he's had lots of months that he's got to spend in rehab. I mean, he's spent like 2.5 years of his life in rehab. It must be nice just to be able to like, oh, I got to go to rehab here for another month.
Yeah. Well, I told you about the one time I was at this restaurant, and I got up, and I was walking out, and I saw this old woman kind of walking towards me, and as I passed...
And it was Steven Tyler?
It was Steven Tyler. I mean, it looks like Carly Simon, and he had, like, a bunch of the scarves like an old woman would wear if she was cold.
How do you think that happens, like, where their face... Like, because it seems like a lot of times their facial features start to morph into, like, womanly features, right? Like, you know what I mean?
Plastic
like,
surgery.
Yeah,
like drugs and plastic surgery.
Like bad plastic surgery.
Right. I need my lips to be even bigger. By the way, the oral history that I forgot who wrote it, but someone wrote oral history of the Walk This Way meeting of Run DMC and Aerosmith is phenomenal.
Is it?
Aerosmith was basically like, I'll do it for drugs. And Run DMC is like, who the hell are these guys? It's like none of them had any. And all they did was just trust Rick Rubin that Rick Rubin knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it ended up being, I think, Run DMC's biggest hit.
Yeah.
And without question, it relaunched Aerosmith's career. Because after that was Permanent Vacation, and then the whole second career of Aerosmith happened because of Run DMC. I had never heard Walk This Way until Run DMC did it.
Wow. No, I don't think I had either. No, I hadn't. I actually had no idea. I had no idea what was going on.
I didn't know who Aerosmith was when that came out.
Yeah,
I was like a kid.
Yeah, same with me. I don't think I knew who Aerosmith was either. I just thought they were the... I'm like, I didn't even know... I just thought it was like some band that... came through and smashed a hole in the wall and was like, hello.
They looked ancient then too, back in the 80s.
And what's funny is they're probably younger than us.
Well, you're probably right. All right, so the Grammys are last night, and of course everyone's mad about the In Memoriam segment because someone always gets omitted or forgotten, except this time it wasn't omitted or forgotten. They just misspelled his name. Rick Ocasek ended up having his name misspelled when they ended up putting it up there. Oops. R-I-C, not R-I-C-K. That's why they did that. Oh. So, Tool won Best Metal Album, by the way. So there you go. Best Metal Performance. What, are you going to give it to Killswitch Engage? Pfft, I think not. Candlemass is still around. That's got a fat guy for a singer.
Now, Candlemass, is that a like a satanic situation?
I know their song was on my Hard and Heavy video back in the day. Mirror, mirror on the wall, telling evil lies. That's the only part I know, because it was the only clip that they played on my Hard and Heavy video.
All right.
Mm-hmm. On top of that, here's what a $40,000 Super Bowl ticket will get you. This is the VIP one that it's being offered. It's you're admitted to the 72 Club, so named after the Dolphins' perfect 72 season. Ugh. Their 40,000 ticket includes black car service from the Hard Rock Stadium, a private lane on stadium grounds to bypass traffic, a private concert from an A-list performer.
Ooh, I don't
Custer,
like
anyone?
I don't like when they don't name the performer.
who here loves fastball?
Yes, indeed. A little bit of the mouth for you.
Play the way three times.
How about we get a little bit of Three Doors Down?
Oh, now we're. What are you joking? They're A-list. They're above A-list.
They're going to bring Maroon 5 in.
Well, listen,
oh, no,
five.
You can't bring the five in. Just four. There'd be too much. There'd be too much chaos.
It says high-end food and booze. This is high-end food and even access to the field for a post-game celebration. So you could be like Papa John, essentially. And, you know, you could maybe
give or Odell Beckham.
Or Odell Beckham. That's
right. Yep.
Oh, God. That Odell Beckham thing is just whatever. Did they
whatever he was on. I mean, like. I mean, he looked like there was like almost like he looked like Willy Wonka out there. You know what I mean?
Just, like, when he was just hanging out, like, how freaking douchey is that? Just slapping dollar bills in people's hands. And then that LSU came out and said it was all fake money. Okay.
I mean, he like looked like, you know what? I the more I thought about it, the more I thought like overzealous booster.
Yeah,
right. It was like blue chips got wrong.
it's like the booster who gets field access is wasted when he gets down there. Starts handing out like $100 handshakes left and right, and then gets a little frisky in the locker room.
Well, the moment he looked the most whacked out was right after he slapped the ass of the police officer.
Yeah,
when the police officer turns around, he just like stares him down. Does this thing like, you gonna do something? And then, of course, the officer's on.
No one's worse than Burrow, who just sat there with a cigar, just taking it all in.
Admit that was douchey. Burrow sitting
Burrow?
There, like Burrow's like, with like the cigar, just going, this is a hard, well-earned cigar.
Yeah, it's time
I've
to
done
just
my
kick
job.
Back. The career's over, and now it's just time to rake in the do-re-mi.
Well, speaking of Miami, number one at the box office, Bad Boys for Life.
Nice.
Boys not spelled with a Z, surprisingly. $34 million on that one. That's actually making money at the box office.
I like the first Bad Boys movie.
You know what? It was fine.
I like the first two. They're fine.
I thought they were like, you know, I mean, we're not thinking we're going to see The Godfather when we go to watch that, right? Like, but it was super entertaining. It was like fast-paced.
What happened in the second one other than explosions and butts?
that was the one where didn't Martin Lawrence take like ecstasy by accident? Hey, you got that's a big fish. Big eyes.
That was like a golden age for movies like that. That like Heat came out right around then.
That was like the Michael Bay era.
Yeah, that was the music video era. Like where guys that had done music videos were getting licenses to do like big budget films.
Well, there were like three summers in a row where it was like The Rock. Remember that one with Nicolas Cage? It's when Nicolas Cage was like the biggest action star in the country.
Like Con Air.
Con Air was the summer after that, which Con Air still holds up as being cheesy Roadhouse-esque.
Face Off?
Face-Off is excellent.
Face-Off is the best.
Face-Off is there's a scene in Face-Off. You can actually YouTube it. It's called just YouTube Worst Stuntmen Ever. And it's these two people who are supposed to be John Travolta and Nicolas Cage fighting on a boat, and they look like Adolfo and like Bird. Like, they look nothing like the two guys, and they're like wrestling each other.
Oh, there were so many good movies. Broken Arrow, do you guys remember that?
I think it was
Howie Long, John Travolta.
And like, he was trying to be a bad guy, but he was trying to be like the cool bad guy, like the dude from Die Hard.
Yeah.
It was like, you've gone mad. Yeah, ain't it cool?
Yeah.
Ain't it cool? Like the wisecracking bad guy. You love to hate him.
I feel like that was sort of like, so in like the early 90s, you had like the Van Damme and the Steven Seagal movies, like Under Siege and those movies,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
And then like the big, like the big production house Michael got wind Day of it. And it's like, okay, like we're going all in on this sort of thing. And they put people like Travolta in those movies. And,
oh, they were great.
Yeah.
Oh, Swordfish. Oh, I remember that one. That was with, what's his name? The guy, Logan. Wolverine was in that as well. Halle Berry.
All yeah. right. I've heard Scott Zolak's voice in the background now for about 45 minutes. So... it's been loud and clear. So
Zoe had an interesting morning.
He did.
All right, well, we can find out all about that. We will be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich is down there in Miami. So are Zolak and Bertrand and Felger and Maz.
I have the whole crew with me. The entire show for the crossover.
Wow. This is unbelievable.
Oh. They're all here.
Yeah, we miss you, Fred.
Thank you. I miss you guys, too. It's very lonely here at the radio station. Yeah, right.
Can you talk about your morning?
Oh, Wallach's not there.
Where's
either,
Wallach?
Zo, can you talk about
the game last night?
Why wouldn't I be able to?
Oh, okay. That's right. Okay.
Hey, real quick, Fred. Zolak had a very interesting morning. Tell him what happened.
Well, I got in late last night, took the last flight in, and...
It's not funny.
I was up
funny.
Early today.
It's funny.
It's not funny.
A dead guy.
And I had no clue where our hotel was in location to the beach.
Spoiler alert.
We're a block from the beach. So I said, hey, grab a cup of coffee, take a right, walk out one block, and there's the beach. I went up to take a peek. Here comes Capello. Mark Capello, our great producer, outstanding producer. Yeah, beautiful view up there. Yeah, beautiful view. passive guy laying on a beach. He's passed
That's
out.
That's a good Capello.
By the time Capello got to me and I get up there, the coroner's there. There's six people standing around the body that's covered. I say, hey, welcome to Miami Beach. I wake up in a matter of 23 minutes. First thing I see is a dead body.
Well, listen. He also had his pants around his ankles.
Happy Super Bowl week.
What happened before that?
Capello said, oh, beautiful view. Very peaceful. There's a guy sleeping right down there
wonderful.
On the beach.
Gosh, wonderful. Wonderful.
It means three more days of winter.
File under a dead body.
It's not funny. And I'm not making it's just.
No, it's not funny that a guy died.
Right.
It's funny that over there thinking it's a
I got news
view.
For you. We're all dying. So yes. let's relax.
Every single one of us.
That's insane.
Capello had no clue. I walk up. I'm like, well, there's the coroner. There's two cops.
Oh, my God.
There's eight people standing around taking pictures, and the body's covered.
If you die with your pants down on the beach, that's a life well lived.
I said the same thing to Capello. I said, what a way to go out.
Top four way.
Right? I said, if you had to pick a way to go out, that'd be on the list somewhere.
Playing with yourself
on the beach.
That's right.
Have you figured out what the theme of our hotel is yet? Because the pictures in my room are of the...
It's pop culture mashup.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles walking across Abbey Road.
Yeah. Oh, and the guy from Toy Story getting into the DeLorean.
I have not seen that
I have
one.
A Toy Story one in my room.
Yeah, we have
Woody
climbing into the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
I think every room has a theme.
Okay.
I don't think there's any.
No, we've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles walking across Abbey Road. It's pop culture mashup. That's the theme.
Oh, well.
It's like the Planet Hollywood. You know how they had the themed rooms
yes.
at Planet Hollywood? And the one time I stayed there, I got the Dead Poets Society room.
Ooh, like, this is a party.
Captain my captain.
This is great. Was it a cave room. In which to read poems?
There was not, but there was a copy of the annual. From the school they attended, encased in the coffee table, and a mm-hmm. picture of Robin Williams inspiring the young minds above the bed.
I had Ray Liotta in the bathroom staring at me while I took a dump. There was a big picture.
Do you have
of
a Goodfellas
room?
Oh, that's a great room. That's a good
room. I
love
room. That one.
It's classy as hell.
Hey, what? Fred, I've yet to see Choppers. I see the CBS Sports Network over there.
Oh, I forgot.
Why is he not there? He's a morning show.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Budget. They got a hell of a stage over there.
I don't know. Put out a shoe and it'll be there in a second.
Still floating over?
Yes, indeed. All right, guys. Enjoy yourselves down there in Miami.
We will have audio from big opening night, media night, with Garoppolo and Andy Reid and all those things. So turn on the TV and look for my studio.
Yeah, and we would tell you to look out for guests, but no one's going to show up today.
So. Oh, Bob Fesco at 6:30 tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Morning.
Oh, my God. How could I forget? But that'll do it for us. Enjoy the rest of the gang down there in Miami. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
From the Town Fair.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.